thank you for being with us this morning. We're just delighted that you could be here. We're studying in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. So if you'll turn there, we're going to pick up in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Today, and actually, I would like to read from verse 17 through verse 21. Consider our passage this morning. Again, thank you for being here. And I'm going to let you remain seated, but let's stand in our hearts. Well, let's go ahead and stand as a Greek God. And what a great thing to do. We express the honor that rightfully belongs to His Word. And let's read together. I'll read I'm going to start with verse 15 there. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most, or as we said, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, as we just did, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, with your heart to the Lord as you read, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. May God add His blessing for reading this word in peace. You may be seated. Let's look at our verses, our passage today. I want to speak about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. That's a great lesson for all of us, something that we all need to know. It's interesting that Paul, in the middle of our passage here, where he's talking to believers about their Christian walk, that this is an essential part of what it means to walk wisely or to redeem the time. And so we want to talk about this morning what it means to be under God's control, be under the control of God's Spirit. Our verses, we're going to start with actually verse 17, but basically in summary, coming out of this particular passage, beginning in verse 15, Paul admonishes believers to walk wisely. He encourages them to redeem the time or to make the most of the opportunity, as some Bibles read, and that would be an appropriate interpretation of it. Take the opportunity that time supplies to invest in eternal things with the time that God has given to you, because it's passing. Everybody's time passes. Nobody can cheat time. Time slips up on everyone. And so we're to walk wisely in light of eternal things, redeeming that time that God has given to us. And he basically says that we do that by understanding the will of God, or the Word of God, which what we would speak of as the Word of God, understanding how God has spoken, how He has instructed us, the promises that He has given from His Word. And secondly, in our verses today, beginning in verse 18 there, you're not to be drunk with wine, but be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So walking wisely, or redeeming the time, basically boils down to understanding God's Word, what He has commanded you, the principles that He has given to you from His precious Word, and the promises that He has given to you as a believer. Secondly, to be filled with God's Spirit. Now, being filled with God's Spirit simply means to be controlled by the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. Now, it's like as we study God's Word. We can study God's Word and it can be an academic exercise, correct? Everybody had that experience? You know what I'm talking about. But there's an approach to God's Word in which God's Spirit makes it alive and powerful. And it is sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joint and the marrow, and it becomes a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's alive, powerful, and life-changing. That's what we're talking about. Being filled with God's Spirit means that there's some reality to this Christian life. It means that God's power operates within God's people to bring that we need as God's people. So, walking wisely, redeeming the time, means understanding God's Word and being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We want to stop there and talk about or think about what it means to be filled by the Spirit. It's contrasted with being drunk with wine. Now, why would it do that? Because when you're drunk with wine, wine is controlling you. Your facilities are not where they need to be.
As being dissipation, I say, what is dissipation? What is another word for it might be debauchery. You say, well, what is debauchery? And basically, we're talking about unbridled pursuit of pleasure or a lack of moral self-control that comes when you're under the influence of something outside of yourself and there's not that moral self-control that would be afforded by a knowledge of God, a knowledge of His Word, and His Spirit being and directing and controlling our lives. So the opposite of redeeming the time would be wasting it and wasting your resources upon drunkenness and things which are called dissipation or debauchery or any lack of moral self-control that would be needful for redeeming the time, for walking wisely. So basically, that's what we're looking at when we talk about do not be drunk with wine in which there is dissipation. But in contrast to that, we're to be filled with God's Holy Spirit, controlled by God's Spirit. It's a duty. Okay, we find in God's Word that the particular word used for being filled, for being controlled, is an imperative. And an imperative means it's a command. Okay? And a command means that God, or that the Apostle Paul, is saying this is your duty. It's your responsibility as a Christian. So first of all, being controlled by God's Spirit, is an expression from God's Word, from God's Holy Spirit, from the Apostle Paul, telling the believer that it is a responsibility, a duty. You're supposed to do it. And we say, well, how do you get filled with the Spirit? Because that's kind of weird, isn't it? Because, yes, you're right. It is passive. The verb is passive. So if it's a command, why would it be passive? It should be active, right? Because if you're commanded to do it, and it's your responsibility to do it, shouldn't the verb, wouldn't it be passive? I mean, wouldn't it be active instead of passive? Well, it's passive. Why would it be passive? Because not only is it a responsibility or duty for the believer, but it's a responsibility that can only be filled or fulfilled by faith. It is a by faith obligation that you have as a believer. Now get this, it is God's grace that works within the believer by faith, through faith, as he puts his trust, as you put your trust in him. Okay, so what does that mean? Okay, well, it's kind of like this. When I come to church in the morning, one of the first things that I do is I apply 1 John 1:9. Okay? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do I know that? Because God's Word says it, and through faith, I believe God's Word, right? Okay? So passively, God has done, I have engaged in a passive sense, an activity that God and only God can do. He forgave me actively by the power of God. I was forgiven, and actively by the power of God, His promise is that He is cleansing me from all unrighteousness. Well, that's important to me. It's important to you. It's important for walking in the Christian life to know that by faith, God promises not only to forgive your sin, but cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But you know, I never stop with 1 John 1:9. I always go to this passage. Because I don't want to just be forgiven and God to be working on me to cleanse me, but I know that God has commanded me and I need to be filled with His Spirit. And so by faith, I ask the Lord to fill me with His Spirit. And by faith, I believe that He will do and take action to do something that is supernatural in my life that I cannot do. That's what we're talking about. The verb expresses it. It is our responsibility. It's your duty to become here Sunday morning filled with the Spirit of God. Filled with God's Spirit. Now, when you do that, songs take a different look and feel. There's an awakeness to God's people. Those that come sleepy, beaten up from the week, you know, there's a power that comes when God's Spirit engages us in the Christian life. And that's what we need in walking with Christ. That's what we need as God's people, to engage in the Christian life, in the realities, for the Word of God not just to be an academic exercise on Sunday morning, but alive and powerful, discerning the thoughts and the intents of your heart, searching your motives, and displaying before you and displaying to you what God already knows about you. His Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit alone can reveal that this Word is what is needed for your life. This promise is what is needed for you. Being filled with God's Spirit is essential for walking the Christian life. In fact, there is no walking the Christian life without, by faith, being filled by God's Spirit. Not only is it a duty, not only is it an act of faith, but it is also a present tense, and so it means it's to be a repeated action. That's interesting. Okay, the idea from this particular verb of being filled by God means that it's supposed to happen on a regular and repeated basis. Okay, some present tense verbs, especially imperatives, often speak in the sense of repetition, being a repeated or a customary type action, perhaps. But filling of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit involves control for the believer. So let's think in it. And those of you that are taking notes, you can turn over the back of your page. And if you've got a Ryrie Study Bible, it kind of walks you through some of these principles and shows you the difference of terms. But walking and filling involve control. It involves the Holy Spirit working in you, guiding you, and empowering you, and doing what the Holy Spirit in the New Covenant was sent by God to do. It is to live the life of the Christian. And without it, you can't live the life of a Christian. You can't walk in the supernatural manner in which God has intended for His children to walk. But being born again, we are able to be filled, and we're able to be walking with and be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Another point to be made is that all three of these terms, indwelling, sealing, and baptism, takes place at one point in time. It is a completed act that the Holy Spirit does when the believer is born again. We are baptized into Christ's death, according to Romans chapter 6. If you're not baptized into Christ's death, you're not a Christian. What that means is that you have been identified with Him. It means that you have the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ in your place is your identity. That God has taken and imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ upon you, even as He took your iniquity and your sin and your rebellion against God and imputed upon Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Being filled with God's Spirit means that we are born again. No one can be filled with God's Spirit that hasn't, in the present day, as believers, been born again. In the Old Testament, they were controlled by God's Spirit, and actually, according to John chapter 14, the Holy Spirit was with them, but after Christ's ascension into heaven, the sending of the Holy Spirit under the new covenant, the Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is in us. When He indwells us at baptism, we're born again, we become regenerate, new believers, and new believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. If you're not indwelt, you're not a believer. If you're not baptized into Jesus Christ, you have not come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And so indwelling, sealing, and baptizing are all acts that the Holy Spirit does at the point of your salvation. It's an act at one point in time. In fact, Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, "However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." So the indwelling of God's Spirit, it says, "But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him." So when a person becomes a believer, he is indwelt by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of Christ. Okay, so what's the difference then? Indwelling, the believer has all of the Holy Spirit. When you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a child of God, born again, in that experience, God gives you the Holy Spirit. And you have all of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is part of the reality of your life as a believer. But then the filling of the Holy Spirit, what's that all about? If I've got all the Holy Spirit, why do I need to be filled? Well, the idea of filling is that the Holy Spirit has all of the believer. Because isn't it true that there are compartments in your lives? There are areas where if we were to inspect very, very carefully and we were to look at your life, would we see the compassion of Christ for others that you meet on the street? Well, that's sin, isn't it? Since God's His purposes are to conform us to the image of His Son, and that's God's goal for you, and you're to be like Jesus Christ, you're the physical manifestation of Jesus Christ here on the earth. He's the vine, you're the branch. You're supposed to be what they see of Jesus Christ. But in these compartments, there are areas where God does not have control. The reality of Christ is not made manifest there. Well, how do we experience that? How can we know the reality of that supernatural kind of life? Well, we can't do it by our own power. That's pretty certain. I mean, I've explored that enough to know that I can try to do certain things in the Christian life, and I can apply myself to studying the Bible and doing even the Christian exercise, even the good things that you're supposed to do, and that doesn't save me. But the salvation that comes by grace through faith, as it did when we were initially saved, is the same kind of salvation that must come to us on a daily basis as we walk with the Lord, being filled with His Spirit, being controlled by what has come to, in the new covenant, indwell our hearts and lives. That's a wonderful provision that God Himself has made for you and for me. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, we can have confidence that though we're so broken, and though there's so many areas in my life right now today that are so far away from being conformed to Jesus Christ, yet God has the power and the grace and has supplied what is necessary in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit for us to experience the filling and the control of God's Holy Spirit in these different areas of our lives. We do not have to live in brokenness and sin because of the power of Jesus Christ, because of what He did on the cross of Calvary. We have victory in Christ, being filled with His Spirit. The believer is controlled. And so now what we want to look at, going back to verse 18 there, we're being filled with the Spirit, and that's an imperative verb, okay? So that's what we meant. It's a duty. It's passive. So that means that by faith, God does fills us with His Spirit by faith as we trust in what His Word has said. And, you know, we simply, just like I prayed and asked God forgiveness for my sin and asked Him to cleanse me from unrighteousness, and by faith I believe that He will do it. By faith I believe that He'll fill me because He told me to. And so what I could not do, what is something that is supernatural, God does, and He does it by faith. He does it by His grace. He does it by faith. And it's enablement. It's power. It's control. It's the authority of Jesus Christ in your life. It's the reality of the Christian life. If there is any reality for us, it comes in that wonderful truth and principle. Now, verses there, beginning in verse 19, there's a string of participles. Okay, and we're going to talk about those, but it says, be filled by the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing songs and psalms with your hearts to the Lord. And it goes on, there's actually two more points that are made. It says to give thanks and to submit. Okay, the point is that in this passage, there's actually five participles, but singing songs and psalms are two participles that are, they go together. They're like, they're married. Okay? We have a picture here of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. This is good because Paul's kind of, in this passage, he's dealing with how-tos. Paul says, this is how to walk wisely, right? Be careful, and remember in verse 15, be careful how you walk. Be careful how, it's the how to. And so we're dealing with a number of different things that enable us or help us to understand what does it mean to walk filled with the Spirit. And Paul is, I think, with these strong participles that connect back to being filled, he is connecting them in such a way that he's showing us the how-tos. In the practical sense of what does a congregation look like? What does a group of people look like that are filled with God's Spirit? And what he's saying is that if we're filled with the Spirit, we're speaking to one another. That first participle is speaking. Okay? So in verse 19, it says speaking to one another, or you might use the term or the word communicating with one another. And so each one of these participles, as we look at what Paul is trying to say, a participle, it can be, there's two things and really two possibilities here. That when we speak to one another, this is the result of the filling of the God Spirit in our lives. Okay, so you see the results of those that are filled with God's Spirit, and I believe there's some truth to that, but I think that more there's a sense that these participles are in, there, some participles carry an imperative sense, a command sense. And if that's the case, then what Paul is saying is that we are to do these things as a means of grace for the filling of God's Spirit. Okay, do you understand the difference? One is the result. If you're filled with the Spirit, these things happen. But the other is, this is a command as we sing, as we speak to one another, as we communicate, as we sing spiritual songs and psalms with our hearts to the Lord. In this act of God's grace is concurrent with the filling of the Spirit. They're one and the same thing. It's the manifestation, then, of the filling of God's Spirit. So speaking to yourselves, look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Let's look at that just a moment. First of all, it's a present tense participle, and what that means is that concurrent, at the same time that you're filled with the Spirit, you are speaking to yourselves. This present tense participle is used in John 6:40, where it says, he that believes on the Son has eternal life. What does that mean? It means that at the point that you believe, you have eternal life. At that point in time. Okay? And the same thing here. At the point that you are filled with the present tense imperative verb there, you are speaking to one another. They run concurrent. They're one and the same thing. They're parts of the same reality at the same, even in the same aspect, but the same time. And so being filled with the Spirit means that we're speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What does that mean? What's the idea of that? It's not only perhaps evidence of the Holy Spirit, but it's a means of God's grace to God's people for being filled. Okay? How do we get filled? Well, we sing to God. We sing to one another the truths of God's Word. Here's another point. The idea of speaking or communicating is taken up in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. It's a parallel passage there, and it says there that we're to be admonishing and teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It uses the same phrases there. It's the same idea. The lalelo, is a word that means to speak or communicate with your voice. Okay? And the idea is that there's admonishing one another. There's teaching one another.